The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well, as we are gonna have some fun on this show today. A gorgeous day in the Auburn Opelika area. And buckle up, we got a lot to get to here over the next couple of hours. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Across from me is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on this September 11th, 2025. And again, we have so much to get to on today's show. Lots of college football, lots of guests, lots of fun we're going to have here over the next several hours. Christian, happy Thursday, sir. How are you, my man?
Doing well. Happy Thursday. Yeah, you mentioned it, having a lot of fun on the show today. Why not go ahead and jump to the full-on conclusions, as there's already playoff predictors and percentages based off of the teams that you beat, what your chances are to make the college football playoff. So why not just jump full in to a cannonball and say, all right, Auburn, 10-2 at worst. Here we go, baby, making the college football playoff. But we have our percentages, or we have ESPN's percentages, for Auburn currently, as well as some other teams, and what that could look like with a couple big-time wins in the near future. We then have word of what Auburn is going to look like inside Jordan-Hare Stadium on Saturday at kickoff at 11:45 when they take on the Jaguars of South Alabama. Some are in favor. One of us in the room. One of us is not necessarily in favor. The other one in the room. And so that'll make a very fun conversation.
Real subtle there. Real subtle.
Before we speak with Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network, recapping Ball State, previewing South Alabama, any concerns or excitements that he has for the game coming up on Saturday. Before we dive into our high school segment starting at 3 o'clock in hour number two with head coach Keith Etheridge.
Yep, there's a lot to get to. So if you want to be a part of the show on Thursdays, it's just busy, man. And it is what it is. So if you want to be a part of the show, now is the best time to do it. Give us a call. We need some predictions. We need some score predictions and some thoughts from you on Auburn and South Alabama. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. Are you worried about South Alabama this weekend? Are you concerned? Maybe it is that trap game that Christian talked about earlier in the week. Or do you think Auburn comes in and absolutely rolls and gets ready for the Oklahoma Sooners next week? So give us a call, 334-321-1390. You could also send us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. Or maybe you want to highlight a game or two that you're keeping an eye on this weekend around the SEC, around the top 25, or around college football. Again, you could call us, shoot us a text. However you want to be a part of the show, we want to hear from you. And you said it, Christian, it's a little degenerate at times, but through 2 weeks of the college football season, we already have updated college football playoff predictions, because you and I gave ours at the start of the year, and a lot of people in the media nowadays will update them as the weeks go on. And there are some people who are crying because their teams, like, I don't know, Kansas State, are dead in the water. Their teams like Toledo didn't beat Kentucky, so that pipe dream is gone. And all of a sudden, we just happen to overlook Tulane on a G5 team that could make the college football playoff. And while some of us in this studio pick South Carolina, and that dream's not dead yet, it ain't looking pretty, there's a lot of changing factors here for who could make the college football playoff in 2025 and what that looks like through the next or through the first 2 weeks of the season.
Was that a subtle finger point to me? Because I did not pick South Carolina to make the college football playoff.
Nope, I'm not pointing my finger.
I did not do it. I was very high on them coming out of Atlanta, but it cooled off a little bit, and I don't think we made
any particular reason.
Yeah, I did more research on what the reasons have been of the inability to block anybody at the line of scrimmage. And that really...
It's a good reason.
It is. Between that and a run game, it's kind of hard. But for how dare I not include all of their special teams in their reasons right now. South Carolina, currently a 20% chance to make the playoff. For those interested, you mentioned Tulane, who is the second most popular G5 pick, according to the All-State Playoff Predictor on ESPN.com. They are at 19%. Again, that is Jake Ratzlaff, the quarterback from BYU that made the transfer to Tulane. But there's a team that's in between Alabama and Auburn, and it's the South Florida Bulls that are in there at 35% right now to make the college football playoff. Also tied at 35% is the Miami Hurricanes, who they take on Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so again, we're looking at this on ESPN, and look, there's so many different people that have updated their predictions, and this is kind of cool. This goes into a little bit more of the number side of things with RPI, not really RPI, but kind of that style, right?
Like almost like your FPI, your football power index.
Yeah. Maybe that's what I meant to say. Something like that, to where you could click on these different teams, and it's like, okay, well, what happens if they win these two games, but they lose this one, or they win all three, or they lose all three, or whatever the case may be. It's obviously not perfect, and it's not live or die, but it's one that just gives you an idea of what the numbers are saying through the first 2 weeks of the season. Because remember, ultimately, the college football playoff is decided by a bunch of bigwigs and behind a closed door that have no accountability for what they do or say. So keep that in mind. It doesn't really matter what happens, because whatever they think goes, and that's just the world that we live in, right? But is there a team in your mind, before we dive more into these numbers, you mentioned a couple of squads there. Is there a team in your opinion, Christian, that through the first 2 weeks of the season of college football has risen their stock to make the college football playoff, or a team that has dropped their stock in making the college football playoff? Who is it and why?
Ooh. A team that, is it risen or rose? A team that has lifted their percentages.
There it is. A team that has, yeah.
Increased.
A team that has elevated.
Elevated and increased their percentages to make the college football playoff. It's one that it was already relatively high to begin with, but I think Oregon has come out and surprised people with how well they have performed, again, with Dante Moore. doing what you did to Oklahoma State should be a crime to another Power Four school.
Yeah, that was bad.
A team that has lowered. Looking at it right here, I guess this plays a little bit of a factor. I would have predicted that LSU would have had higher than a 27% chance to make the college football playoff.
I think it's because their schedule's tough. They play a ton of tough games in conference, starting with Florida this weekend if the Gators can get up off the mat.
I had three SEC teams making my college football playoff. I had Georgia and Texas, I believe, as the two. Or no, I had LSU and Texas. And then I had Georgia, Alabama, and Tennessee as one of those three chaotic teams that I think all beat each other. Preview for tomorrow. I think all three of them beat each other, and it comes down to another big-time win that they can get. Tennessee right now is at 54% to make the college football playoff. I think that could be another team to really look out for.
Yeah, that's my pick for a team that has already lifted its playoff chances in my eyes, or at
least
the
Rose. You already said it once.
Rose, Risen, whatever. I mean, whatever word you want to use. Tennessee's my team, at least just from the eye test. Haven't used that term in a while. Eye test for Tennessee, they've passed it for me. They look really, really good. And it's on both sides of the football. We haven't seen that from Tennessee in a while, where the offense seems to be clicking, and that defensive front may be one of the best in the country for Josh Heupel in Tennessee. They're a team that I think has elevated, yes, their chances to make the college football playoff, and obviously have every chance to continue to do that starting this weekend when they host the Georgia Bulldogs. In terms of a team that has gone backwards, right, a team that maybe isn't as impressive as we thought they would be. I had three SEC teams in my college football playoff as well. I had Texas, LSU, and Georgia sneaking their way in. I also had Notre Dame making it just because it's Notre Dame and they'll find any way to put them in there. I had Iowa State making it. I still feel good about that. Baylor making it. I'm still hanging on to that. I had Washington making it, and I still feel good about that. But I don't know.
Iowa State's not even listed on here, are they?
No, not on this. So they must be less than 19%, which is absurd. Iowa State should be on this list. Iowa State is a good football team. But I also had Boise State making my college football playoff. So by default, yeah, I'm going to pick Boise State as the team that has gone the wrong direction, has gone backwards in their chances to make the college football playoff in my book.
Another one as well, this is excluding Auburn, and we're talking about the college football playoff predictor over on ESPN. But another team that has raised their percentages, a team at 27% right now, the Missouri Tigers. I think a big-time win over Kansas, I think it kind of ensured that Drew Pabula or Pabula is going to be the starting quarterback in Como, and so I think that's another team that's, I don't know where they sat to begin with, but they were right around there with Auburn, and they've continued to lift their expectations and percentages as well.
I don't think it sticks.
I don't either, but just as of right now.
But see,
it's week two, man. We're jumping all the way.
Oh, we're going full.
We're going full in. Utah's making the playoff. Florida State at 23% is making the college football playoff.
I mean, heck, how could you not say Florida State? That's a team that's absolutely raised its playoff chances from week zero to now.
Yeah.
I mean, they absolutely. That may be the best answer you could give. I'm just not saying, hey, Missouri, good job on beating Kansas on your home field. You guys are it. You guys are going to win the SEC or compete in the SEC. I'm not buying stock on them yet, but the fact that they could have a win over a top 15 team in South Carolina, you could argue whether they are or not in your book, but it is on paper right now. And then a top 20 team in Alabama as of right now, before they come to Jordan-Hare and could get a big win there, before they go to Vanderbilt and could get a big win there, before they host Texas A&M and Oklahoma. Actually, they go to Oklahoma. Like, Missouri's going to have plenty of chances. And so by the end of the season, you'll know exactly where they stand. Are they good or are they not? It'll be pretty simple. I'm just not there yet on Missouri.
Looking at these percentages, again, Ohio State is at 83%, Oregon at 81%, and then there's a big drop-off. Texas at 65%, Georgia at 63%. I'm going to leave one team out real fast because I'm going to get to them in just a moment. USC with Jordan Mayava, who has been secretly fantastic in Southern California. And how
maybe
funny
the best
is it,
receiver room in the country.
And how
too.
Funny is it that we've sat there and, like, that's a team that's getting overlooked by the national media. Southern California, one of the biggest brands in college football. They're at 60%, and then we've mentioned a couple of the other ones. Penn State at 55%, Tennessee at 54%, and there's only right now, there are eight teams with above a 50% chance, and Tennessee is that last one. Alabama at 49%, and then South Florida, Miami at 35% in there as well. We'll talk about Auburn here in just a minute, but I know this will fire you up. Ain't no way that Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss at 61% right now to make the college football playoff. Let me read you their schedule. They host Arkansas this Saturday at 6 o'clock before they host Tulane at 2:30. That could be a very, very interesting game. Then they host LSU. I guess that the good thing is that you get four straight home games before that really, really weird game where you host Washington State on October 11th in the middle of conference play.
Who's 2-0, by the way.
You then go to Athens, to Norman, back home for South Carolina, the Citadel, Florida, and then back on the road at Mississippi State, where nobody knows what that rivalry looks like year in and year out.
I don't think it's as bad as you are.
You don't think there's at least two, if not three, in there?
I think if this is the Ole Miss team that Lane Kiffin thinks he has, if this is a playoff Ole Miss team, you would expect them to beat Arkansas, Tulane. That would give them four. Washington State would be five. Citadel, six. We'll give them Florida. That's seven. I'll go ahead and give them South Carolina. That's eight. I'll give them Mississippi State. That's nine. You're talking about winning one of LSU at Georgia at Oklahoma. If this is the team that some people think they could be, then yes, you could get it done. But when has Lane Kiffin proven in his time at Oxford that they can win a game at home against Arkansas consistently, or win a game against a top five team like LSU, or go on the road and hang with Georgia in Athens, or not let Oklahoma just beat them to death on the defensive front, or let Lenora Sellers throw and run for 500 all-purpose yards, and then let Mississippi State and Jeff Lebby beat them at the end?
Or let Zach Calzada put up 23 points, who's not even a starter anymore at Kentucky.
Right. I'm with you.
Does that give you confidence, that game on September 6th, winning 30-23
over
Kentucky?
Oh, I ain't buying Ole Miss.
No.
Heck no.
I'm not saying you are, but just
no.
If you're talking about, obviously, I know that this is week two and you expect to see a lot of improvements, but Austin Simmons has been turnover prone with his arm, and until you see that cleaned up, man, I don't know how that confidence level is so high.
Yeah, I don't know. My lack of confidence is in Lane Kiffin. I don't think the schedule's all that bad. If Auburn had this schedule, would we be scared of it? I don't think I would be. I don't think I'd be overly worried about it. You're 2-0 after beating Georgia State and already going on the road and beating Kentucky. You have Arkansas in this weekend, which could be scary, I guess, but you're fine. Tulane, yes, but we would feel confident in Auburn still coming out with a win. And I'll say this, any win over Tulane is a good win. I don't care if it's by 30 points or 1 point. That's a good win over Tulane, who already has a win over a P4 program this year, by the way. LSU at home, that's a huge opportunity if this is Auburn, right? Just speaking in Auburn's terms. Washington State, they're 2-0, but one of those wins is San Diego State. The other win for Washington State is over Idaho, 13-10. So not overly worried about that game against Washington State. Again, if this is Auburn, then you go to Georgia. That's tough. Then you go to Norman. That's tough. But then home games against South Carolina, the Citadel, Florida, who knows what they'll be, and then on the road at Mississippi State. All I'm saying is I think the schedule's doable for Ole Miss, but I ain't buying Ole Miss because Lane Kiffin's still the head coach.
I think it's doable, but I would still take the back half of our schedule over the back half of theirs.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
So basically it would be us getting Tulane, LSU, Washington State, and trading them with Oklahoma and or Texas A&M before going to Georgia.
Yeah. Ole Miss, it sets up for them to do something here. I just don't think they do it.
Until they do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a see-it-to-believe-it mode in Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. Always has been and always will be.
We talked about a couple of the other teams before we head to break. To kick off hour number one, Auburn is in there at 34% right now with a 34% chance to make the college football playoff, and you can go in there again. It has you click the toughest three games, according to the FPI, on their schedule, and as of right now, that is A&M, Georgia, and Alabama. Oklahoma is kind of that fourth one, but it really has them split. It's like 51.5 or 48.5, something like that. It gives A&M a 58% chance to win, Georgia a 57% chance to win, and Alabama still a 63% chance to win. And so you can go in there and click the winner for all of those games. But right now, you click the other three teams, and you don't click Auburn's logo once, it says 77% for Auburn to still make the college football playoff.
Do you agree, as we go into break here, do you agree that those are the three toughest games remaining on Auburn's schedule? At Texas A&M, home for Georgia, home for Alabama? Do you think those are the three toughest in that order now? In that order, at Texas A&M, home for Georgia, and home for Alabama. I'm going to have you answer that when we come back. We want to hear from you. Do you think that's the three toughest games for Auburn remaining on the schedule? At A&M, home for Georgia, and home for Alabama. We talk about that and answer it next. Plus, what Auburn's going to be wearing this weekend for the first time in a long time. We have that coming up for you right after this as we're just underway on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we continue on here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We got a few minutes before we take our bottom of the hour break. We'll bring in Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, get his thoughts on what he saw last weekend for Auburn under the lights against Ball State and what he's looking forward to this weekend as the Tigers take on South Alabama for the first time ever. They'll have that game, of course, 11:45 on the air, on the radio, on your dial over on Wings 94.3. And so they'll be on, they will go on the air at 9 a.m. sharp Saturday morning. But before that, it'll be game day on Wings. We'll be on the air at 7 a.m. sharp. I mean, I don't think Jack Hutton's ever woke up that early, so
no.
he's going to have to set several alarms. I may have to go pull him out of bed to make sure that he gets there on time. But him and Uncle T-Bone going live 7 a.m., Wings 94.3, for game day on Wings. They'll get you ready. They'll hand it off after 2 hours to the Tiger Tailgate Show, and they'll take you right up to kickoff between Auburn and South Alabama on Wings 94.3 this Saturday. But, Christian, I left you with a question before we went to break. ESPN says that the toughest three games remaining on Auburn's schedule, in this order, are at Texas A&M, home for Georgia, and home for Alabama. Do you agree that those are the three toughest games remaining for Auburn in 2025? At Texas A&M, home for Georgia, and home for Alabama.
This is actually based on schedule. It actually has Auburn with a 42% chance to beat A&M, 43% chance to beat Georgia. So by 1%, Georgia is technically the...
I was reading it wrong.
But. Yeah, no, this is just based off of date.
Heard.
But I don't think that that changes too much. I'd be willing to make the argument for Oklahoma over Texas A&M depending on when the game is played. I think 2:30, that time slot helped Auburn a little bit. I would be...
2:30 against Oklahoma.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I think that benefits Auburn just a little bit. I'd be surprised if the game at Kyle Field is not an evening game, if not a night game.
I was looking. According to ESPN, this is that game is not a flex. That is already determined to be an afternoon game, the Auburn Texas A&M game. There's not an official time
okay.
on it yet.
Is it like so? It's the 2:30 or to 4?
3:30 to 4:30 Eastern. So 2:30 to 3:30 Central. That's already been claimed
because LSU
Ole Miss is the flex game that day. That could be a 3:30 or 4:30 or the 6 to 8. So sounds like Auburn's going to get an afternoon game at Kyle Field, which is typically how it goes.
Yes.
I mean, all the big games I can remember between Auburn and Texas A&M. Over there have always been that mid-afternoon, used to be the 2:30 CBS kick. But if that helps your decision a little bit, that is already determined to be an afternoon game between Auburn and Texas A&M.
I'll keep the argument from the standpoint as if I didn't know that, and I'll say that because going to Kyle Field later in the day is going to be a little bit more difficult, I would say that, yes, these are the three. I think you're going to throw Oklahoma, if I were to ask you that question, probably over Alabama.
I think so. Yeah, I think right now just what we've seen from those two teams between Oklahoma on the road versus Alabama at home. Look, we know what the Iron Bowl is, and we know that you're going to get each team's best shot, yada, yada, yada. But, man, you can't sit here and tell me that Alabama looks better than Oklahoma right now. One team has a win over a top 20 team. One team has a loss to an unranked team. That's the difference. And one game is played in Norman, the other game is played in Jordan-Hare.
Technically, because we love the AP poll so much, Alabama has a top 10 loss.
That's disgusting. That's disgusting.
Goes to prove our argument even more.
Exactly. But I would. I think right now, on paper, I would say, in this order, I'm saying, oh gosh, I don't know. I don't know what order I would put them in. In some conglomerate of an order, at Texas A&M, at Oklahoma, and home for Georgia. Those are the three toughest games that Auburn has remaining on its schedule. Could that change? Absolutely. But you're talking just from a talent standpoint, environment standpoint, coaching standpoint. I mean, I think that's it for me. In some order, at A&M, at Oklahoma, and home for Georgia, which, by the way, are all three in a row. all three of those games are in a row. And Doug and I were talking earlier today on his show, the Max Roundtable. He was asking me what would be an acceptable record in those three games. If Auburn takes care of business this weekend against South Alabama, looks good, we're not stressing, Auburn's 3-0 heading to Norman, what's an acceptable record for you, Christian,
those
three games? What is a record that says, okay, that's fine, everything's cool, we still got a chance, what would you take in those three games? If I could give it to you right now and we didn't play the games, that's the proposal I was given. If I said, hey, you either play the three games and get the results you get, or I give you 1-2, do you take it? At Oklahoma, at A&M, and home for Georgia.
I think I would.
You would take it? You take 1-2?
From the standpoint of looking at it at the tallest tower, knowing that Auburn would be 4-2 with the rest of their schedule upcoming of Missouri, Arkansas, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Mercer, and Alabama, I would. It would obviously hurt a lot more if Auburn goes and beats Oklahoma, and I know for the next 3 weeks I have to sit there in between a bye week and stress about back-to-back losses, but I think I would take it.
The only 1-2 I would take is a guaranteed win over Georgia.
Yes. Okay.
But I said...
play it out?
I said play it out. I said play it out and see what happens, because I think Auburn's playing good enough to win two of those games.
I think they are. But if you could assure me one of them, that's where I'm still at right now.
We'll talk more Auburn football coming up right after this. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, he'll join us on the phone line. Stick around.
Minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. And we welcome in our Thursday 2:30 guest. He is with the Auburn Sports Network. He helps make everything run smoothly on that side of things. He is Brad Law, and he's with us now. My man, it's good to have you back on the show. And, hey, the Tigers are 2-0.
2-0 and a dominant effort against Ball State. Not a great offensive team in Ball State, but they were going to try to run the ball a lot of different ways, and Auburn just plugged it. One of the best defensive performances we've seen in a very long time. So, momentum defensively and a lot of good things offensively, spread it around a little more. I think they're in a good spot out of the first 2 weeks of the year.
Yeah, well, something we've talked about as the week has kind of gone on is while the scoreboard wasn't 70-0 like we saw some of these other schools do in week two, you alluded to it there, defensively, one of the best performances we've ever seen from an Auburn football team because of what Ball State simply could not do. And Brad, that was moving the football for Ball State.
Yeah, no, they just, you know, Auburn knew they were going to try to run it. They have a running quarterback, and he's run first, run second, run third. And their passing game just is not as much of a threat. And so, you know, the way they rolled out those defensive linemen, linebackers, Xavier Adkins had a whale of a game. He continues to show why this staff, he and others, continue to show why this staff was so high on the linebackers in the preseason. It really was, I mean, look, you hold a team under 70 yards of total offense, that's a good day. You come out of the first 2 weeks of the year leading the SEC in rush defense and really good in third down defense. That's a good spot to be in. You can, you know, I don't know that Auburn's schedule, guys, is all that dissimilar to a lot of other teams in the league. You have some teams that have kind of played two cupcakes the first 2 weeks of the year. Auburn has a 14-point win on the road at a Power 4 team, and then they took care of business at home. So I thought that was really encouraging to see.
You mentioned that 14-point win in Waco, taking on Baylor, and that win continues to look better by the week after Baylor beats SMU in double overtime. Yeah. A topic of conversation that we've had all week on the show, Brad, is how refreshing is it that Auburn fans, Auburn players, Auburn coaches don't have to go and overanalyze this game against Ball State, right? Because you already saw them take care of business against Baylor, doing it in a way that you didn't necessarily expect them to do, but you don't have to sit here here and wonder, okay, well, Jackson Arnold was able to do this against Ball State, but now we have to sit here and wait for what he can do against a good team, because you've already seen it 1-0 against Baylor.
Yeah, good point. And everything is the interesting thing about football, and you guys know this because it's just not a black and white thing every week. And what happened one week doesn't necessarily mean that the next thing's going to happen the next week. Teams get better. Teams focus on different things in practice. Defenses hit you with different things. You have plan A, plan B, plan C, injuries, contingencies, weather elements. Like, there's so much. But in the small sample size, we've seen Jackson Arnold run this offense where he needed to run more to make plays. And we've seen him do that effectively with two touchdown runs against Baylor. We've seen him run the offense where he threw the ball more, completed 24 of 28 passes, and had his first three touchdown passes as the Auburn quarterback, protecting the football in both game plans, both styles, both running and passing more, held on to the ball, protected it, didn't turn it over. So, yeah, I think that's a really good point that there are – do you have questions? Sure. You're going to have questions. Like, the regular season is a 12-page exam, and we're just through the first two pages at this point. But the questions on the first two pages, Auburn has gotten right.
Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network is with us here on ESPN 106.7. And so as we do turn the page to Chapter 3 here, Brad, with South Alabama coming to town this week, it's fascinating to me that this is the first time these two teams have ever met on the football field. I saw that in the game notes that came out on Monday, and it was kind of baffling to see that. And we now know that Auburn is going to be wearing the Stormtroopers at home for the first time since 2008. Do you have an opinion on that? Are you a fan of that one way or the other?
Yeah, no, I think it's good. I'm not in the never change the jersey camp. I think it's fine. It's the homecoming game. I think it was homecoming in 2008 when they wore white against UT Martin, who then wore orange. And it's Auburn's orange and Auburn's blue. UT Martin that day looked like what Auburn would look like if Auburn wore orange jerseys. It was interesting. It was a little bizarre, but that whole season was a little bizarre. No, I don't have any negative thoughts on it. I think it's fine. I don't think the uniform you wear determines whether you win or lose a game. And so it's something different. It is something unique. Those white Stormtrooper uniforms may be the best-looking uniforms in all of college football, and we don't get a chance to see them at home. So it will be fun to do that Saturday. We'll choose to enjoy the new thing that doesn't have any impact on how the team plays or winning or losing games whatsoever.
And worst case scenario, we'll just say that it helps them because it's 90 degrees in Jordan-Hare and you're wearing white, so it makes things a little bit better. Brad, you saw a two running back room majority-wise against Baylor with Jeremiah Cobb, Damari Alston. DA was listed out against Ball State, so it was Jeremiah Cobb that got his first start in his college career. You saw multiple other backs in the backfield as well. You've then also got some other injury updates with Darrell Robinson. Jeremiah Cobb still kind of fighting off from the hand injury from preseason. Are you worried about this running back room at all, or do you feel some sort of confidence because it was always going to be that running back by committee?
Yeah, I think maybe a little bit of both. Like, I think it's a little bit of red and yellow make orange. It's just what tint. I think that I'm confident in the guys that are out there. This is why you need four running backs in a room, by the way. And Auburn started the season with four that it felt confident in. In Damari Alston, Jeremiah Cobb, Darrell Robinson, and Omar Mabson. Now you're down to two, maybe. Like, Damari's going to be game time. Coach Freeze talked about that earlier today, game time decision. He has gone through some work this week in practice, and they know what they have in Damari. I do think you want those guys as healthy as possible for SEC play next week. Do I necessarily want Jeremiah to get 20 carries against South? No. Do I want Omar to get 20 carries against South Alabama? No, I don't think either one of them will, but you're confident with the guys you'd have, but you'd much rather have all four in there and healthy.
And so when you look to this South Alabama team this weekend, Brad, Auburn, a 24, 25-point favorite, depending on where you look. And, of course, it is the homecoming game, and it's an early kickoff. And there's a lot of outside things that could distract a team on a day like this. But is there something in particular about South Alabama that you think Auburn needs to be aware of and be able to game plan for that could come back to haunt them on Saturday afternoon?
You know, that's a good question. I think games like this are all about energy, attention to detail, Monday through Thursday. You know, they'll go through their walkthrough, I guess, today or tomorrow. And by then, the hay's in the barn, like Coach Dye used to say. But I think your effort and intensity and your attention to detail early in the week as you prepare, that determines games like this, where South Alabama is going to come in here, in-state school, battling the big bad SEC team, and they're going to try to shock the world. This would be a definitive statement game if there ever was one, and it would derail momentum that Auburn has earned to this point this season. And I think the players have to know that. They have to be able to say, and the coaches have to be able to keep them on track and say, you know, at the end of the day, Auburn has a better roster than South Alabama. Auburn has a better roster than most of the teams that will play this year. I don't know that there's anything schematically other than they have a look. Their running back's a sixth-year senior and a transfer from Ole Miss. They have a bunch of guys who have played 5 and 6 years of college football. Teams like that typically don't beat themselves. So you've got to hold on to the ball. You can't give it to them at the 30-yard line. I think Auburn needs to continue to do what it's done to this point, which is protect the football and go out and respect the opponent the way you would expect to, and take care of business.
Before we let you plug everything and with the broadcast this weekend, Tiger Talk next week, and all that great stuff, Brad, the team and the coaches and the players don't want to look ahead to Oklahoma, but us in the entertainment business, we're allowed to, and it makes it a little bit more exciting. Is there something you want to see or learn about Auburn this weekend, other than the victory, of course? Is there something you want to see or learn about Auburn this weekend because of what Oklahoma will present them next weekend in Norman? Is there something like that that you'll be looking out for?
Yeah, Jacob, candidly, no, because, again, every game is so different. And they'll go to work Monday, the coaches will go to work Sunday, players will go to work Monday, putting in an entirely new and different game plan for Oklahoma based on what they see from Oklahoma, not based on what they see against South Alabama. I don't think that necessarily you're able to execute something against South Alabama that will be the same as executing it against Oklahoma. I don't think you work on anything offensively, and I don't think coaches go into games preparing like, let's work on it against this team in a game that counts to prepare for another game that is going to count. I think you play to win that game, and then you go back to work and you prepare for the next one. So I don't think there's anything Auburn could accomplish offensively where you'd go, well, that'll work exactly the same against Oklahoma. So that's a really long way to say, no, I think Auburn needs to go out and take care of business in this game. Each game is valuable. You respect every opponent. And so you take care of South Alabama, and then you got a whole week, just like Oklahoma will, to prepare for that game in Norman next Saturday.
It's wild to think we're already into week 3 of the college football season, and that means Auburn and South Alabama inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium. Kickoff set for around 11:45, Brad. So you guys are going to take over the airwaves here locally on Wings 94.3, 9 a.m. sharp. Tell the people what they'll hear this Saturday.
Yeah, 9 o'clock, we've got, who do we have coming in? Rob Selby, who is a great offensive lineman in that 1980s run with Coach Dye. We have Ben Nowland, who was a center. We've got a run of, like, star centers on the Tiger Tailgate Show.
Okay.
We have some other special guests planned as well that aren't confirmed just yet, but they're coming. And we're looking forward to that starting at 9 o'clock. So everybody tune in, Wings 94.3, 9 a.m. Saturday, kickoff 11:47 specifically. So we're going to hustle through that last hour of the pregame show, but business as usual, 9 o'clock on Wings.
Brad, we appreciate the time as always, my friend. Have a great rest of your week. Enjoy the call this weekend, and we'll talk to you again next Thursday to start previewing SEC play.
You got it, guys. Thanks very much. War Eagle.
Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Appreciate him.
War Eagle, Brad.
War Eagle to Brad Law. Yes, we love Brad. We love his time. We'd always appreciate him joining us on the show, as he does every single Thursday at 2:30. You heard him say it right there. This coming Saturday, Wings 94.3 is the place to be. If you're going to be out and about, 7 a.m. is when everything gets started over there with Game Day on Wings. Jumpin' Jack Hutton and Uncle T-Bone will go on the air for 2 hours. They'll talk about Auburn. They'll talk about South Alabama. They'll also talk about all the big games around week 3 of college football. Then they'll hand it off to Brad and them on the Auburn Sports Network at 9 a.m. They'll take you right up to kickoff, which is 11:47, according to Brad. So that'll be this Saturday over on Wings 94.3, so be sure you check that out this weekend. We'll take our final break here in hour number one. Looks like we're going to get to the phone lines when we come back as well, and we'll wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Brad Law for the Auburn Sports Network. He always joins us on Thursdays at 2:30 here during On the Line. And so I always look forward to our conversations with him, and you can tell he's ready for South Alabama, but sounds like he may be ready for SEC play as well. And I think a lot of folks around town are in the same boat. Let's get to the phone lines here to wrap up the hour. 334-321-1390. And James, you're on the line. We appreciate you holding on through the break, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate you taking my call. I've just got two questions. One, you may have already talked about it this week, but I'll ask it. I know we're down to Cobb and Omar Mabson as far as the running back. Is there any possibility that Alvin Henderson may see some action this weekend?
The reports early in the week were no. They said that he was going to be dressing but would not be used. Now, if some of these other situations get worse, then maybe, but I'm going to stick with that for now, James, and say that no, Alvin Henderson probably won't see the field this Saturday.
Okay. My second comment, and his name leaves me, the kid who came in when to kick when Towns Magoo hurt his foot.
Gibbs.
He seemed to get the job done on kickoffs. How good is he when it comes to field goals?
Connor was 10 of 13 last year at Southern Miss. And had kicked a 59-yarder. And so again, you saw the leg on the kickoffs to where, I mean, he was piling it to the middle, if not the back of the end zone every single time.
Right.
So I don't think that strength, leg strength is the question at all. It's just more so trying to find some sort of consistency outside of 35 or 40 yards, where obviously Alec McPherson doesn't feel comfortable right now.
I got you. And that was the next, I guess, the follow up with that is, McPherson, is Alec, is he on the mend, or is he still status quo, or he's kind of being watched, or what's the situation with him?
Yeah, so he's still definitely not considering, like, day-to-day from the standpoint of overall health. But right now, we haven't gotten an overall update other than it's getting a little bit better, but obviously it's still not to the point of wanting to overdo it with anything. And so he's obviously still the guy for extra points and any sort of chip shot field goals. Because as you've seen throughout his career and this year, accuracy hasn't been any sort of problem. But even when he's out kicking 35-yard field goals, you can see that it's not powering through the uprights like it usually does.
I got you. Okay, man. I appreciate your time. Have a good day.
Thanks so much. Appreciate the call, James. Good to hear from you. And good questions because, that's something that we've discussed throughout this week is the injuries in the running back room, the injuries in the kicking game, in the kicking room, and even in the DB's room, too. I mean, I told Doug earlier, these are problems that aren't bad now, but if they get worse or just simply don't get better, they could become major problems as early as next week.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where you don't want to hope that it's bad, because more times than not, when injuries occur, especially minor ones that don't hold players out for too long. I mean, you think about Auburn basketball this past year on the couple games that Jani Broome was out, right? And it was, okay, What's the confidence level? We got to go find a way to try and score points. What do? You go back home and beat Mississippi State by 24 points or whatever the case was because you had so many of these other guys step up. Sometimes when you lose a piece, you have other guys pull a little bit more weight, and then when that player comes back healthy, the rest of the team is still carrying and still pulling that same amount of weight, which can usually lead to more success. That being said, like what you're talking about, of if one of those guys like Champ Anthony gets hurt and obviously has to miss even more time, and then you have some of these other guys that are trying to fill in roles and then they get injured, then all of a sudden you feel like you're missing an even bigger piece than what you started with.
I'll say this, though. If there's a position that I feel can be made up with guys in the rotation, what I mean by that is if there's a spot on the team that I feel comfortable in the second and third string guys, or even just the dudes who are the non-starters, it is the DBs. It's that corner slash safety slash nickel, whatever position that you're having to move some dudes around right now. I feel the most confident in somebody replacing Champ Anthony versus whatever the kicking game's going to be, because we heard this week in practice they brought Connor Gibbs in for a pressure kick, I think is what they called it. Teams around him, music's thumping, everybody's watching him kick, and he missed it, right? Now, that's practice, it's a weird situation, whatever, but he missed it. And we know the Towns is not 100%, and McPherson, like you said, if it's not a PAT or a chip shot, they're not going to push him, they're not going to go. I feel the most confidence, though, in somebody in the safeties room or the DBs overall, if there's an injury, for somebody there to step up. Yes, there is more people, there's more volume, so there's better odds of that happening, but I think I just have such high confidence in what Auburn has back there. I mean, look at your safeties for a second. How much have we talked about Newboy Fagans and Eric Winters? The fact that those are your two freshmen, both guys standing 6 foot tall, 220 pounds or 200 pounds, whatever they are. And it's like, okay, cool. Throw them out there. Let's see what happens. I want to see those guys play. Let them rotate. Let them eat if Champ Anthony can't go until he's back and ready to go. I just have the most confidence in the DBs to make up for somebody going down if that's the case.
Again, goes into the depth of high school recruiting and shows why high school recruiting is still so, so important. And like last year, it was the situation where you didn't have that depth, or you didn't have that talent out in front of these freshmen or the underclassmen to where they were forced to go out and play. They were thrown into the fire during the SEC play, or the SEC gauntlet, rather. Now you have the luxury where you don't feel like they have to, but any time that you can get from them is quality time, and you saw plenty of them make a big-time plays, whether that was in Waco, whether that was in the second half against Ball State, and you're going to continue to hear more of their names throughout the season.
Hour number one is in the books. Stick around. We got a whole lot more coming up in hour number two. We start hour number two with the head football coach of Auburn High School, Coach Keith Etheridge. We talk about the Tigers taking down the Dogs in the 100th meeting as they return home for Enterprise tomorrow night. Plus, Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC joins us as well. That's all coming up in hour number two.
Is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on this sunny, beautiful Thursday afternoon in the Auburn Opelika area. If you missed any of hour number one, you can go back and catch it with the podcast version of the show on our station website at ESPNAU.com. And we get to start hour number two on this Thursday afternoon, as we do every week during football season. We welcome in our guy, head coach Keith Etheridge of Auburn High School Football is on the phone lines with us now. Coach, it's great to hear from you. Great to have you on the show once again. And look, I know last week we talked about it earlier. Last week was tough for you and your family, but everything went well. Yeah. Prayers and thoughts to you and your sweet mom, and glad that everything went well and you got a win to cap it all off.
Yeah, it could have been a devastating week for our family last week, but you know, God is good, and man, it ended up being a great week. You know, my mom came through her surgery well, and you know, she's recovering right now in Birmingham, so you know, that's an answered prayer. And you know, our kids did a great job, you know, Thursday night finding a way to win.
Well, you did just that, going to Bulldog Stadium against Opelika in the 100th all-time meeting, and you walk away victorious again. Coach, I don't know if everybody knows it. We told them on the broadcast, but you've never lost to Opelika. Auburn hasn't lost in a while, but you've never lost to the Dogs. You just got a little something extra for them every year.
Well, I've been blessed, man. It always comes down to one or two, you know, one or two plays. I mean, it always does. You know, it's always a great football game. Got a lot of respect for Opelika. You know, we've been fortunate to be on the winning side. You know, the 5 years I've been here, and they have a great program. You know, coaches came in and done a good job over there. Coach Moore has. So, you know, we got a lot of respect for them, and we just, you know, it's one of them rivalries that, you know, it always comes down to one or two plays.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's exactly right. It was a year ago with a late score for Auburn High, and then an interception by Alex Gamston. This year was a late score by Auburn High, and then a fumble recovery for your defense as Opelika was driving down the field. I mean, what is it about this rivalry in this game, Auburn and Opelika, now that you've played it yet again the fifth time, what is it that just makes it so darn hard to win this game?
I think it's just, you know, we're so close. We're sister cities, you know. You know, all of our kids know each other. You know, they played Little League against or with each other, you know. And it just makes it that much bigger of a game. You know, the atmosphere at the game's always intense. You know, it's always a packed house. You know, usually it's sold out by Wednesday. So, you know, it just everything makes it a huge game.
Well, 17-10 was the final score. Auburn beating Opelika, moving 2-1 on the season, but also starting region play 1-0. Not that the Auburn Opelika rivalry needed any more juice to it, Coach. But now that it is a region game, you start the year 1-0, and we know what that means in terms of making the playoffs. But what impressed you the most about your team last week, coming off the loss against Vestavia and turning around and beating Opelika?
Yeah, I'd have to say our defense played great. You know, defensively, you know, we came out and played unbelievable the first half. You know, I think that Kaysen had a really good game. Cross stepped in. He threw the pass on the fake punt.
Right.
All of our receivers played well. You know, I think that, you know, we're getting there. We're still a work in progress. And I told everybody it would take, you know, some games under our belt before we started clicking offensively. And I think right now we're moving the ball really well. We've just got to score in the red zone.
We got to score in the red zone, and you and I were talking a little bit too. Even just cutting down on a few penalties here and there, I think will really help your squad continue to move the ball up and down the field and punch it into the end zone a few more times. But, man, nothing wrong with a 17-10 win on the road against Opelika, where a lot of things were going against you. But now you start 1-0. Your road trips are done for a while, Coach. We're back home at Duck Sanford Stadium for an entire month, and I know you and the guys are excited for that.
Yeah, it's great to be back home. You know, love playing at the Duck. You know, the atmosphere there is great for high school football. You know, we got the, of course, you got the unit there, our student section who does an unbelievable job. You know, our band's great. You know, our cheerleaders are awesome. You know, it encompasses the entire Auburn High School and the entire city of Auburn on Friday night because that place gets packed, and it's hard to come into Auburn High School and win.
It is, and there's no doubt about it. As, again, Auburn goes on the road last week to beat Opelika, now home against Enterprise this weekend, and four straight Fridays for home games for Auburn High School. Enterprise, Jag, Moody, and then Central before the next road trip for the Auburn High Tigers. We're talking with head coach Keith Etheridge of Auburn High School football here on ESPN 106.7. And now that you have flipped the page and you guys are getting ready for the Enterprise Wildcats coming up tomorrow night, what can you tell the folks at home who are listening right now what to expect from Enterprise come up tomorrow night?
Enterprise is coming off a loss, you know, and they've got a good football team. You know, they got beat by a really good Dothan team who runs the ball extremely well. Enterprise came in and upset us at home a couple years ago. You know, they had a really good game plan coming in. We turned the ball over some and gave them opportunities, and they capitalized, you know. So, we got to come ready to play. They got a good football team. They got a lot of weapons that can hurt you. So, you know, they like us are replacing a lot of high profile kids. You know, they had three D1 kids, and you know that they're replacing. So they're kind of like us. They're in a position where the more games they get under their belt, the more comfortable they get. And you know, I expect them to come in and bring their A game.
Well, last year was so much fun, and I remind people of what the stakes were for that game. I mean, a top five matchup where both offenses were clicking, just D1 talent all over the field, and went down there and won by several scores. And, Coach, I told people last year that after that game, the long drive home, which I'm thankful we don't have to make this year, it was the drive home after that game where I think we really realized how good Auburn High's team was a year ago. Is there any sort of mantra this year where a win like this coming off of the Opelika game could kind of give you guys that boost in the backstretch?
We definitely could use a win in this game, you know, for region standings, for, you know, confidence. I think what will help is if we start getting in the red zone and start putting points on the board, you know, on a consistent basis. You know, we've got to put points on the board. We could have been up 21 points at halftime last week, you know, very easily. But we left a lot of points out there, and we got to quit doing that. You know, we got to get better in that aspect. We drove the ball outside the 20s all night, you know, last Friday. And then we'd get in there, and we was kind of sputter, you know. So we got to get better there. And you know, a win Friday night would – definitely help with confidence and help us, you know, to get off to a 2-0 start in the region, which would be huge.
We're talking with Auburn High's head football coach Keith Etheridge here during the Thursday edition of On the Line. Coach, we named Cason Myers, our orthopedic clinic high school player of the week, starting quarterback for you and your Tigers, because of his incredible performance a week ago. Yeah. He had, in this game against Opelika, 245 yards of passing and a touchdown, 87 yards of rushing, and he caught a touchdown pass as well.
Yeah.
What have you seen from your new quarterback this year that gives you confidence in big-time region games like you'll have again tomorrow?
Well, first of all, he's a great young man. You know, he is a class individual who works hard and very athletic. He has a lot of arm talent. He can throw the ball from every angle. You see him roll out and gets pressured, and he can go from the low angle, takes it up to the high angle when he's sitting in the pocket. And, you know, he's got a quick release, and he's very accurate. And he moves defenses with his eyes. He does a good job of moving defenses with his eyes and doing some little things that are really important. Case is a kid who's played a lot of football. You know, I think he's been a starter since he was a freshman, and, you know, and it shows. You know, he has poise back there. He can pull it down and he can run it. You know, I mean, he's like, you know, having a – once he pulls it down and run it, he becomes a running back.
Yeah.
He's that shift. He has some shiftiness, and he has some power, you know. And he can, and he's fast. So, you know, he's tough to handle back there. You know, I'm glad he's on our team, and we're not having to prepare for it.
Well, he's been a great addition to you and your offense so far this season. The receivers are fun to watch. Getting the running game going, yeah, a little bit too should be a lot of, yeah, fun. Once again, tomorrow night, Auburn versus Enterprise. It's the Tigers and the Wildcats back home at Duck Sanford Stadium. If you can't get to the game to watch the Tigers, you can listen to us over on Wings 94.3. Myself, Rob Pate, and Jack Hutton will be on the air on the Auburn High Sports Network. Pregame starts at 6:30 and kickoff at 7, and we'll get to cover another game for Auburn High School football and head coach Keith Etheridge, who is joining us right now. Coach, we appreciate you and your time as always, and again, just so thankful and joyful for you and your family, and that everything went well the week ago, and we're excited to see you guys again tomorrow night.
Thank you, Jacob. Appreciate everything y'all do, brother. God bless, and go Tigers.
Go Tigers. That is head coach Keith Etheridge of Auburn High School football. He joins us every Thursday right here on ESPN 106.7 to start hour number two, and appreciate his time. You can catch more of Coach Keith Etheridge as he sits down with me in our pregame interview every Friday night over on Wings 94.3. Again, pregame starts at 6:30 with kickoff at 7 on Wings 94.3, and just can't say enough how much I appreciate Coach Etheridge and what he's done for me and what he does for Auburn High football, and the fact that his family went through what they went through a week ago, but everything went well, everything is good, and he was, I mean, yeah, what a week he went through last week, but he was able to be there, and Auburn beats Opelika in the 100th meeting, and yes, back home for a month, and I cannot wait as Enterprise comes to town tomorrow. Then it's Jag, Moody, and Central before the Tigers hit the road. Again, we'll take a break, come back, talk some more high school football for Auburn High, Lee Scott, some other surrounding teams as well, some big games coming up around the area and across the state of Alabama. We talk about that next as we're just underway here in hour number two during the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Appreciate Auburn High School's head football coach, Keith Etheridge. Again, he joins us every Thursday live at 3 o'clock here during football season to recap the previous game for the Auburn High Tigers and preview what's coming up, which is Enterprise coming up tomorrow night. And so looking forward to that. Again, if you can't get out to the Duck or just want to sit on the back porch and enjoy it that way, you can absolutely do so. WingsFM.com, Wings94.3, or that Radio Alabama app. That's the best thing to have on your phone during football season, man. And basketball and baseball season. I mean, really all the seasons, honestly.
Yeah.
It's the best thing to have because you can bounce around all of our different family of radio stations. Heck, between us and our Sylacauga stations, you can get, what, 8 high school sports networks now? Is that right? Is that what we have?
Either 8 or 9.
I mean, you have all sorts of different high schools that you can get coverage on our Radio Alabama app. Of course, here locally, Auburn High, Lee Scott. You can also get Sylacauga. You can get Clay Central, B.B. Comer, Fayetteville, Childersburg, and Wetumpka. So you can literally, as I'm looking at it, just bounce around all the different networks. They're all there at the bottom. You can just click around and check scores all night long on a Friday night. So be sure you have the Radio Alabama app downloaded on your phone for high school football season, basketball, same way all the way around. And so while Auburn High is finally returning home, just our second home game of the year, Christian, you guys have been enjoying playing at home the first several weeks, and you guys are on the road for the first time, heading down to see the old Bobcats of Beulah.
We are, yeah. Started at home for 3 straight, capped that off with a big win over Childersburg to start region play, 1-0 in the 3-0 Lee Scott Academy Warriors head down to Beulah this Friday night to take on the Bobcats, as you mentioned. Beulah 1-2 as their record sits right now, but we're told that that is not truly indicative of the talent that's on that football team. But yeah, Lee Scott's going to learn a lot about themselves. We were able to talk with Coach Buster Daniel on Tuesday about what he expects to learn from his team, what he's learned from his team already this season, but now going on the road for the very first time again, where that mental clock is just a little bit different, right? You know that the bell rings and you get to go to the locker room when you're at home, and then you get out there at the field at a certain time, you eat at a certain time, and you kind of are able to go through a routine. On the road, things are just a little bit different, and it's a mentality change, a scene change, but hopefully not a change in the scoreboard when everything is said and done. Four of Lee Scott's first five games are at home. Again, on the road at Beulah before we're back home to take on Randolph County. That's Lee Scott Academy's homecoming game on the 19th before a bye week. And then four of our final five games are on the road. The only home game sandwiched between a couple of road games is Glenwood for senior night on October 17th.
Yeah, so those two games going on. Again, Auburn home versus Enterprise. Lee Scott on the road against Beulah. Going up north, Glenwood is going to be on the road at Childersburg. That's for your region, so you guys will be keeping an eye on that one, see if Childersburg can pull some sort of an upset. Silicaga is making their trip, or their way down here. They're going to visit Beauregard this Friday. Beauregard is 0-3, looking for their first win on the season. They'll host Silicaga, part of our Radio Alabama family of stations, the Silicaga Aggie Sports Network. Some other big games that are going on around our area, around the state of Alabama, that are important, that are at least relevant to what's going on. How about this? Hewitt Trustful, top five team in the state, making the short drive to Hoover to take on the Bucks, who are 1-2.
1-2.
1-2 is Hoover this year. This is a Hewitt team because some people may or may not know. A lot of my family and their friends are in the Hewitt Trustful school system. Stepmom teaches up there. Both my younger sisters, two of my three younger sisters, go to Hewitt Trustful, and I've been talking to some people up there, and they feel really good about what the Huskies have for Hewitt this year. So they're going to take on Hoover on Friday in Hoover. So that should be a really, really big game. I'm looking forward to seeing what the score becomes of that one.
We have Central Phoenix City taking on Dothan.
Yeah.
Which is
that's Dothan. Believe Dothan coming to Phoenix City, if I remember correctly.
Ooh. Yes, that is correct.
Is that right? Yeah, Dothan coming to Central Phoenix City. Look, Dothan beat Enterprise by like 25 points last week and put 60 something on their head. So I'm talking with some of the folks of Enterprise after what they saw against Dothan last week. They said this is one of the more talented Dothan teams they've seen in quite some time. So that is a game that could absolutely determine the winner of Region 2 at 7A. So looking forward to, again, seeing that one. You mentioned Dadeville and Randolph County going to be going at it this weekend, or this Friday night as well. And so lots of big games, man. Lots of really exciting games for 3A, 7A, kind of in between all the way around. And so we'll be keeping you updated on our respective broadcasts coming up tomorrow night between Wings 94.3 and AU 100.3.
And while we have a little bit of time talking about games in state, Hugh Freeze had some statements today on Auburn taking on South Alabama and his desire to play in school teams every single year, saying that it keeps all of the money in the state of Alabama. He mentioned some comments about how more times than not these fan bases kind of blend, whether that's Jacksonville State, South Alabama, Troy, right? You kind of have your Auburn or Alabama that you tie into as well. And so being able to keep that money in state when you're coming to play the G5 non-conference games, I think is really, really important. And it's something that we heard a lot of in media days over in Atlanta. A lot of these teams and their head coaches going up and talking about their schedule, diving into their schedule. And yes, they broke down all of their SEC games, but a lot of them talked about, and you look up there, there's week two and week three, or week one and week two, or week one and week three, and you're playing teams from your own state and being able to keep not necessarily a rivalry, but keep a really cool tradition or get a tradition started of having these smaller schools come and play at these stadiums, because – saying it like it is. Again, not only do the fan bases blend a little bit, but a lot of the kids at South Alabama probably grew up an Auburn fan and would love to play inside Jordan-Hare Stadium. So now giving kids and giving coaches the opportunity to do something like that, you feel like is really, really cool.
Yeah, and it's one of those situations where I've been very vocal myself. I've been very vocal about wanting to get rid of some of these games off the schedule, at least eliminating the three that the SEC sure. plays right now. I would be fine with one game like this in state, one game outside in P4, and then you're picking up an extra conference game for the SEC. And so as beneficial as they are, I get it. I totally understand it. And I know that that's just how the system has been orchestrated. And built over the past several decades, I mean forever probably, of Auburn paying Mercer to come and play, and you pay them, you know, $800,000 or $1 million or $1.2 million. Like, I totally understand where that comes from and why that is a good thing, but at what point do we have to look at this system in the face and say, okay, maybe this isn't the best way moving forward. Maybe this isn't the best way for big name teams and programs to conduct their full 12-game season. And maybe there are other ways some of these programs could figure out funding and get money. I don't know what that is, and I understand that that would cause some major issues. I mean, think about a team like Alabama State or those types of teams that they, UNA or whatever, like those teams rely on those couple of $1 million checks they get every year to go and get the brains beat in, and they use it to keep their football program alive. But just seems like it's a system that's really old-fashioned, and maybe there's a better way to do it.
Well, we've already talked about how that's going to happen, and that's when we solved college football on the show
day,
the free-for-all Friday episode.
The minor league
system.
To where
you're going to have minor league systems, and you're going to have these smaller schools feed into the larger schools, and that's when everybody goes and signs their two-year guaranteed, third-year deal options. Everybody runs the same system, and you can move guys up from, if South Alabama is Auburn's AAA school, they're running the exact same offense down there, but Jackson Arnold gets hurt, Deuce Knight's down there playing at South. Okay, we're calling the quarterback up for a 10-day or whatever the case may be, and for all you know, that's going to be the way that these schools find a way to operate.
And they all operate under the same financial umbrella, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and whether that's a football-only thing or you do that several sports-wide, I don't know. But I think it's something that could or should be considered. Just, again, it just seems like the system that is in place right now is so, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? It's prehistoric. It's dinosaur. It's just old. It's old.
Purist.
Yeah, I mean, purists love it. Yeah, they do. But it's like, look, find another way to make money. I don't know, because that's not a good way for an Auburn or an Alabama to play a 12-game season by playing three of these types of games. But I do agree the one you play every year should be an in-state school.
Yeah.
I like that. I think that's important.
Speaking of purist and mentality, jerseys. The white jerseys. We mentioned it to start the show of how I am a fan, you not so much. How do you stand on that side of things?
Look, I am a guy that I like the Stormtrooper. I love the Stormtroopers. And Brad Law said earlier that he thinks they're the best uniforms in college football. I agree. I totally think they are. But I like them being unique to Auburn playing on the road. I like them being unique for Auburn on the road. I just don't get the celebration of them being used at home. Like, you didn't change anything. You didn't do anything. You just took the jersey you're wearing next week out of the closet and threw it on this week. Like, I don't know. I'm indifferent. I think it should be used for on the road, but it is what it is.
My only complaint would be to save it for a bigger game.
I guess since it's the fans are doing the whiteout too, but Auburn's done plenty of whiteouts before.
It's going to be hot there, so they got to wear
white. Yeah, Auburn's never played a hot football game before. Speaking of hot, I don't know where I was going with that. Chris Gordon joins us next.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goetz. He is Christian Griffin. And we bring in our man Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast. And Chris, I think I had possibly the worst radio outro I've ever had. We were talking about hot temperatures, and I said, speaking of hot, and then I had nowhere else to go and just said you were coming on with us next. So I don't know how you want to proceed from here.
Oh, well, the easy way to spin that is, speaking of hot, he's going to bring the hottest of takes, Chris Gordy.
See, I knew I would leave it up to the professional to get that done. And so I'm sure you do have a hot take or two from week two of college football in the SEC last week and what we could potentially see coming up this weekend. And so I open it up to you, my friend. Biggest winners and losers from last weekend around the SEC in college football, a weekend that on paper looked to be pretty good and ended up being pretty good.
Well, the biggest winner, I think, out of week two, it was John Mateer from Oklahoma. Obviously, he looked very good in week one against Illinois State, but to do it against a top 15 team like Michigan, who I get it, it's not a national champion Michigan team, but still a pretty damn good Michigan team. And last we saw, it beat, you know, Alabama in the bowl game and still had a lot of returners on defense, pretty good defense. Offense, going to take a little bit of while to catch up with Bryce Underwood being a true freshman, but I thought Michigan did a pretty good job, but I mean, you know, for looking at who was the star of the night, it was John Mateer for using his arm, using his legs, made some beautiful throws. I saw even, you know, people like Todd McShay were pointing out some of the throws he made were pro-style throws. And so it's just a stark difference from what Oklahoma was offensively last year. And it's not a dig at Jackson Arnold. Obviously, he had a walking wounded, you know, offensive line, a walking wounded wide receiving core, and it was just Oklahoma's offense stunk last year, but it's night and day with Mateer, and it's kind of scary because we'll see if this does work in the SEC. If it does, we're talking about Oklahoma being a potential 9-10 win team that could vie for a playoff spot and vie for an SEC title. So I thought John Mateer was the winner. Obviously, the big loser, Billy Napier at Florida. I said it last week. I think I said on your show that, you know, be careful with USF. They had just beaten Boise State, who was the top 25 team, and it's a really good squad led by Byron Brown, who's been there for seemingly forever. Alex Golish, former assistant under Heupel. We call him a Heupel disciple. He's got that team really believing. And, you know, they went on a field goal drive aided by a spitting incident, or second spitting incident in football last week. But it was a costly one, and it led to a game-winning field goal and a stupid loss for Florida. Now, I will say, everybody is burying Florida, and their schedule is absolutely brutal. But I'm here in Baton Rouge right now. Don't get it mistaken. I think we're going to see a really good Florida team come out. They're going to get Caleb Banks back on the D-line. And I think Florida's going to give it their best shot against LSU. And I do think they'll win some SEC games. So, you know, don't bury Billy Napier just yet. Because think of the difference. If Gramatica's kick goes wide right, what are we saying? Well, Florida dodged a bullet. So, I mean, just one field goal made or missed, you know, is a difference maker. But right now it's, look, it's not good. You have no business losing to South Florida at home in the swamp, and Napier deserves all the bad things that are coming his way right now.
Chris, any SEC teams that were kind of middle of the pack to start the season that's beginning to get a little bit more of your attention is Mississippi State or Vanderbilt or Missouri with the win over Kansas. Any of those teams or possibly another team that's getting a little bit more of your attention going into week three?
Yeah, that was a hell of a win for Missouri to come back on Kansas like they did, because I was texting my Mizzou buddy early in the game. I was like, man, it's not looking good. And they turned it up a notch, and Bo Prabula played very well. So, yeah, Mizzou is definitely a team to watch because they play these first six games all at home. They don't leave Como until late October.
That's ridiculous.
So, yeah, I mean, they did Eli Drinkwitz some favors there with that schedule. And then the Mississippi State monumental win for Jeff Levy. He's got those guys believing, you know, obviously having a healthy Blake Shapen. Had Blake Shapen not gotten hurt at the start of last season, I think Mississippi State would have won a game or two in the SEC. They wouldn't have been, you know, the doormat like they turned out to be. So, that was a monster win for their program, just to show that they're not, you know, god-awful. Now, can they get the six wins? I don't know. It's going to be tough, but I wouldn't put it past them to win an SEC game or two and maybe get to 5-7, so which has certainly been an improvement over last year. And then Vanderbilt, yeah, I mean, the second half they had, down 10 to Virginia Tech on the road, and then to come back out and steam pile them in the second half, completely shut them out in their house. That was a message sent by Vanderbilt. So, yeah, this is going to be the four SEC games this week are going to be a lot of fun. By the way, Alabama, night and day difference from week one to week two. I said they were going to look a lot better at home. Ty Simpson was going to look a lot better. Didn't think he would set the school record for consecutive completions, 17 for 17
all
on the night.
Pump the brakes, Chris. Pump the brakes. Okay, all right.
Well, if it was so easy to do, I would just say, why didn't everybody do it? You know, like, it's funny, though. Every Alabama fan I've talked to this week has started the sentence, I know it was just ULM, but, you know, so you got to put that disclaimer.
That's fair. That's fair.
Well, Chris, any teams in the SEC, kind of the flip side of things, any teams that are on the top half or that top little echelon of the SEC slate, whether that's Georgia, Texas, South Carolina with some offensive question marks right now, any teams that you're worried about as SEC play really gets going?
Well, I mentioned I'm here in Baton Rouge. LSU, I watched most of that game against Louisiana Tech. When you go against, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's like this for some of those other schools. I mean, obviously USF against Florida, but when you play the smaller in-state schools, it's their Super Bowl. Like, they want to give it their all. It would mean the decade to their program if they could pull an upset over the in-state behemoth. And so Louisiana Tech played their butts off in that game. And LSU had the big emotional letdown because they had just come off the monster win against Clemson. Remember, all offseason it was about, we got to go 1-0. We got to start 1-0. We got to beat Clemson. And then you come home the next week and you're like, eh, crappy opponent, whatever. And they kind of sleptwalk through it. So I expect we'll see a much better effort from LSU, a more focused effort. Same thing for Georgia. I mean, they opened the season with Marshall and Austin Peay. Yeah, I mean, I can see where some of those guys were kind of on autopilot last week. Like, yeah, okay, when do we play a good team? Well, now they get one. Now they have to go on the road and play Tennessee and Knoxville. So, yeah, a little bit of a sleepy performance from some of the schools in the SEC last week. But like I said, with eight teams in conference play this week, we're going to start to kind of separate and see who's the real deal this week.
We're talking with Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, our longtime Thursday 3:30 guest here on ESPN 106.7. And you mentioned you're in Baton Rouge, a game that could be really, really fascinating this weekend, LSU and Florida. And you kind of gave your thoughts on Florida there for a moment, but I want to go back to it. I mean, you've got Florida fans who, because of a made field goal, are ready to get Billy Napier out of town. I mean, what's the stretch for Florida here that they need to go on? Like, what do they need to do other than just survive over the next four or five games for him to get his job back, I would say?
Yeah, I think a good showing in Baton Rouge. Look, even if they lose the game, I think, I think at least you'll buy some fan trust back that you could show that you haven't lost the locker room and this team still believes. I mean, look, if LSU blows them out, you know, wins something like, let's say LSU comes out and wins, I don't know, 34-17 or something, like, then you're really starting to talk about, all right, I don't know if Napier makes it to midseason. Like, the whole thing about him being on the hot seat last year, yes, they win four in a row to finish the season. That was great. But all it bought him was another ticket for another year. Like, it didn't buy him the next 5 years of safety. Like, he's still very much on the hot seat. And, you know, Jacksonville radio put out the rumors about John Gruden the other night. I've even had some Florida fans on our comments this week say, give me Alex Golish. Look at what he's doing at South Florida. At least we know we're going to get a better effort from that. It's an important stretch here because think of what's going to happen. If they were to fire and move on for Billy Napier, I think you're going to lose DJ Lagway to the transfer portal. And I've had multiple people tell me, you know, we'll see what happens with Marcel Reed, but some folks in College Station will be calling the Texas boy back home to be closer to home in Texas at A&M for DJ Lagway next year. So, it's a very important stretch for Napier. I mean, again, the schedule is absolutely brutal. I still stand by. I think Billy Napier is a good head coach. He has just been handed a schedule of death since he stepped foot in Gainesville, and no room for error, no room for any mistakes. And, you know, if they do fire him, I bet he finds his way at a middle-tier program and probably shows he's really, really good again. So, it's a hugely important weekend for Florida. And again, an important weekend for LSU. I think they've shown their defense is so good through these first 2 weeks. You want to see them get in there and stifle DJ Lagway because they owe them payback for losing in the Swamp last year. But I will tell you this, since 2010, Florida is just 1-6 in Death Valley. It is a place they have not won very much in recent history.
Chris, thankfully, you were talking about LSU last week with Louisiana Tech and how the smaller in-state schools have that as their Super Bowl. Thankfully, we haven't talked about that in great worry for Auburn this week with South Alabama coming to town. They're 25-point favorites, depending on where you look in that game. Is there anything that you would like to see Auburn handle their business in a certain way against South Alabama before, again, Auburn hits the road to Norman to take on a really, really good Oklahoma team that you continue to be highly talking about?
Yeah, this is one. I know the narrative for the first couple of weeks is, you know, you're taking what the defense has given you, and they've certainly proven they can run the football, but you know, having the, you know, with Damari Alston out and Darrell Robinson's banged up, mm-hmm. like, I mean, we're going to see a lot of Jeremiah Cobb, no doubt. But to me, I still people I talk to on the outside are like, when are we going to see that high flying Auburn attack? And I'm like, look, it's going to come. I just almost wonder, do you just press it this week? Do you say, look, we're going to throw it and we don't give a damn. Get Jackson Arnold a 300-yard passing day. Get Cam Coleman over 100 yards. Just to kind of, you know, like I said, use it as a dress rehearsal for that trip to Oklahoma, which is looming so large. So I don't know. We'll see. Again, I was very impressed with Auburn through the first 2 weeks. I think they have a chance to be the, you know, in the upper half of SEC teams this year. But again, you know, whatever the plan is this week, we'd just like to see a dominant passing performance. Like, if we come out of this, and I get it, South Alabama, but if we come out of this week and go, God, look at that dominant passing game for Auburn, I just think you're going to go into Norman with all the confidence in the world.
He is the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, Chris Gordy, with us on ESPN 106.7. All right, my man, it's the fun time of the segment now. We flipped to week three. I'm going to open this up to you because there's a lot of games on the schedule this week. Some teams are, you know, playing cupcakes one final time, but we do have some fascinating matchups in the conference, cross-conference, and others. I'm going to let you pick the games that you want to, whether that's Wisconsin taking on Alabama, Georgia in Tennessee. How about Arkansas, Ole Miss, Florida, LSU, Texas A&M heads up to Notre Dame Stadium and Vanderbilt in South Carolina. The floor is yours, my friend. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, I think the game that everybody is kind of putting on upset alert is A&M going to Notre Dame. I think, you know, Notre Dame's had a weird schedule where they played on that Sunday night against Miami. They lost a hard-fought game. Then they had a bye week, and so they haven't played a game in 2 weeks. And now they host a top 25 Texas A&M team. And man, for all the love that, you know, Marcus Freeman got all offseason, and you know, got Notre Dame back to the championship and all this stuff. Like, if they start 0-2, I mean, the Bluebirds are going to be coming out at Notre Dame. So, but a lot of people are picking the Aggies, and I think justifiably so. We know the ground game, how good it is with Levy and Moss and Amari Daniels and all those guys, but the passing game has been phenomenal. These two new additions in Mario Craver from Mississippi State and Casey Concepcion from NC State, Marcel Reed is flinging it, man. He is looking like a really good passer of the football, and I get it, they've played, you know, two cupcakes so far, but this is going to be a big test for them. And look, they lost it last year. I thought they tried to play the game in a phone booth, and they lost. Would not shock me if they come out flinging it around the football field, showing Notre Dame, hey, we can throw it now.
Okay.
That's a big one. So a lot of people are jumping on the Aggies this weekend. But the other one to me, gosh, Tennessee, Josh Heupel, is it time you're finally going to get over the hump and beat Georgia?
Because here we go.
He's got wins over everybody else in the conference. He just cannot slay the dragon that is Kirby Smart. 0-8 in their last eight matchups. It's in Knoxville. Look, Gunnar Stockton is very unproven to me. This is going to be his first career true road SEC start. And Joey Aguilar has exceeded expectations so far. I mean, he's been better than advertised at Tennessee. So, look, I'm not calling for the upset. I think Tennessee's got a chance to play a good game with Georgia and possibly pull it out.
Man, you think they keep it close, but you're not willing to jump on it yet, Chris? You don't think Tennessee – is it see it to believe it mode with Tennessee?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's good on good, right? I mean, they're 2 weeks. Georgia, I want to say their defense ranks eighth nationally, and Tennessee's offense ranks number two nationally. So
yeah,
it's good on good. It's just, you know, we know how good Tennessee runs the football. We, you know, Aguilar's looked pretty good through the passing game. But you just know Kirby Smart is going to get those four-star and five-star talent all over that defense. to ramp up and play inspired football this weekend. To me, it's just it's about the quarterbacks. If Aguilar protects the football and can end some drives and touchdowns, they're going to win the game. But, you know, Gunnar Stockton, what does he do on the road? That's the biggest test to me.
There it is. There's a lot of fun games going on around the SEC this weekend, and Chris Gordy talks about it every single day on his podcast on Locked On SEC. My man, tell people where they can find it, what you got coming up for tomorrow, and kind of what you have through the rest of the weekend as well.
Yeah, Locked On SEC, wherever you get your podcast. We're filming an episode here this evening that'll debut tomorrow morning on the campus of LSU. We'll have some former LSU Tigers joining us as well. So going to be a fun weekend previewing all the games in the SEC.
Chris, we appreciate your time, my friend. Stay safe down there in Baton Rouge. I've heard some stories a time or two.
Well, I'm a Louisianian by heart, so they don't come after me.
I don't know if that means anything. I mean, I think they're still just that crazy, right?
Yeah, you just had to hand them some boudin and a beer, and they'll leave you alone.
Man, we appreciate you taking the time. Enjoy the weekend. We'll have you on again next week.
All right, fellas, thanks.
Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC. Check it out wherever you get your podcast. And Christian, he's starting to lean Tennessee. He's thinking Tennessee seems to be a popular pick.
What is that line down to?
ESPN says 3.5 for Georgia.
Okay.
Now, whether that's consistent across all books, I don't know, but
Was it not?
I saw 4.5 or 5.5.
I feel like almost everywhere we saw it the other day when I first brought it up, it was 4.5 everywhere. It might have been 3.5. Based off of anywhere, you can get 3.5 up to 4.5 for Georgia.
Let me check this unnamed sportsbook really quick.
Well, I'm looking at a website that has every one of them.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. But this one says 4.5. So it just kind of depends on, where you can – I mean, it just depends on where you go and look, I guess. So I don't know, man.
You're wanting to do it so bad.
My fear, just to be open and honest here, I've thought Tennessee all week. But my fear is that so many people are jumping on Tennessee that we're just going to overlook Kirby Smart and forget who the head coach is. And he's just going to, like Chris said, he's got 4 and 5 stars that he can get up and get to play at any given time. And he's one of the best coaches in the country at doing so. Like, if anybody's willing to do it, if anybody's good enough to get his team up to play a game like this, it's Kirby Smart at Georgia.
It is.
That's unfortunate.
But Jacob wants the Giant to fall eventually. Should Auburn, as we go to break,
yeah.
Georgia or Auburn fans should want Georgia to win this game, right? Just from the standpoint of making that game in Jordan-Hare just that much better. I understand that there's that mentality, but then there's also like, oh, well, it doesn't really matter. But I mean,
I see what you're saying.
I feel like you would want as much on it as possible.
Yeah.
Not that, again, one loss for Georgia is going to
discredit. And not that that game needs any more juice either.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, what would that? That would put Georgia – there's a chance.
Ain't no way Georgia's 3-2.
That's what I was going to say. 3-2. No. I think I'll say this right now. If Alabama doesn't – who does Alabama play this weekend?
Wisconsin. It's the 11 a.m. game.
If they don't look great against Wisconsin this weekend talking about Alabama, Georgia will demolish – Alabama in Athens will demolish them.
Let's see if that game has any.
Doug told me today that Auburn Oklahoma spread is out, and it's Oklahoma 4.5. Is that what he told me? I think he said 4.5 for Auburn Oklahoma next week, and I was like, that's kind of interesting. I understand where it's coming from, but no, there's no way Georgia's 3-2 when they come to Jordan-Hare.
Ain't no way.
4-1 is still fine. 4-1 is still fine for Georgia when they come in to Auburn's house.
Ain't no way.
Because
then Georgia would find a way to be 4-2 walking out. After Auburn's the team that brings all of the hype, and rather than just playing in your home stadium, trying to build confidence and using your home stadium as the saving grace, it'll finally be the other way around, where Georgia's walking in limping, not happy with their record, nothing's going right for them. And then,
so what you're saying is after all
Jabba
that,
just creeps back in. Yeah, Carl Anthony Towns walks onto the show and just says Jabba.
Yeah, we have to get to a break, our final break.
We're going to come back and music will be playing.
Yeah. Yeah, I got nothing. All right, we'll take a break.
How can we time it up perfectly? We can't
by stopping talking right now and getting to a break. We will do that and wrap up the Thursday edition of On the Line right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We appreciate all of our wonderful guests for joining us today. A jam-packed Thursday episode. We had Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network in hour number one. We had Auburn High School's head football coach Keith Etheridge to join us, or he joined us to start hour number two. And then we just got off the phone with Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast. Had a couple of phone calls, had some text messages in there as well. We covered a lot on today's show. So if you missed any of it, go back and check it out in the podcast center on our station website at ESPNAU.com.
And man, tomorrow is a free for all Friday segment, and you know how that works. We're picking the best games of the week. I'm getting back into my groove. I'm gaining some games on Jacob. And then at 3:30, man, we're diving into Auburn and South Alabama completely, giving our final thoughts, giving our predictions for what's going to be a fantastic official opening weekend of conference play.
Yep, we'll have that for you. Free for all Friday, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.